Item number two, please.
Item number two is from the Director of Transportation and Public Works submitting an informational report regarding the status on the implementation of the Green Print Resolution provisions. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Mr. Keith, welcome.
Good morning, Chairman and committee members. I'm going to load something up here if I can, just a second.
Warm-up, I would like to acknowledge in the, our presence in the audience, Sherry Briscoe, the chair of the Parks Advisory Committee. Sherry, would you raise your hand so folks know who you are? There we are. Ms. Briscoe spent 12 years, if I recall correctly, as a county supervisor in Waukesha County prior to relocating to our benefit and to our county. So welcome.
Play button.
Okay.
Everyone's a little different.
If you have comments on any of the items, I would remind folks in the gallery to fill out a card and get it to Mr. Baltman.
I think I'm ready now.
Fine. Yeah. Proceed.
Good morning again. The Green Print Resolution, which was passed by the board several years ago, requires that the board be updated periodically as to the progress on the 16 different initiatives listed in the Green Print Resolution. This is my second report for this year. The first report, I believe, is in May of this year. Rather than go through the report on an item-by-item basis, I thought the committee might find it a little more interesting to see some slides that illustrate several select projects and planning activities that have been undertaken over the past 6 months or so. And then afterwards, I'd be happy to answer any specific questions the committee could have about the report. I'll begin, and my apologies to Supervisor Sanfilippo for the bad angle of this. I'll begin with a couple projects that are employing some new technologies for energy savings. The left photograph on the left is a relatively simple device. It's a skylight, but it's not an ordinary skylight. This is kind of a high-tech skylight. The product's called the Apollo Light Tube, and it's designed with a highly reflective surface on the interior, and it's kind of a convex shape as well. So it's extremely efficient at harvesting light that's coming in from, like, even low angles when the sun is low in the sky. I had seen a couple of installations of this down at new manufacturing facilities down in the Menominee Valley, and I was really impressed at how efficient it is. Essentially, what you see coming from these skylights looks what was be the equivalent to a light fixture right there. So we had 20 of these installed at the primate house there at the zoo. Those were deteriorating skylights. They were replaced with these new technologies. I think this is an important project for a couple of reasons. First, it has the I think there's a lot of potential applications for the use of this in our buildings, particularly those that are single-story buildings. And then secondly, this is a product made right here in Wisconsin. It's made by Orion Energies out of Manitowoc. On the right, you see a picture of an LED lighting installation that's right next to the ticketing area at General Mitchell Airport. Now, LED lighting has been around for a good number of years now, but that high initial cost of LED lighting has kind of prevented a lot of its application in the past. I think that LED lighting is starting to come of age now. The cost is coming down, and they're making them much more efficient than they used to. If you see charts of LED lighting efficiency, you can continue to see them rising. The researchers are projecting that the efficiency of LED lighting is going to continue to increase, and I think you're going to see LED lighting more and more throughout all of our facilities in the future. And I think this is an important project as well because it shows that the staff at GMI and our electrical staff are kind of running the numbers. They're crunching the numbers, and they're seeing that we're reaching a point where that life cycle cost of these types of fixtures, meaning life cycle cost, that means not just the initial cost, but that long-term operating cost is less than other kind of technologies or other types of fixtures out there. This is a slide taken on the roof of the Milwaukee Public Museum. And I don't know if you're aware of it, but they installed a green roof there at just at the beginning of this month. It was a relatively quick installation. I think they installed it in about 3 or 4 days. This is what was referred to as an extensive type green roof, meaning that the depth of it is less than 6 inches of soil. And the plantings that they put in there are a plant type called a sedum. It doesn't grow very tall, and they're very hardy. You can still see some brown patches in there right now. That's going to fill in over the course of a year or so. You won't see those little spaces between those kind of squares that kind of comprise the green roof. It was how it was installed. The roof was installed with the funding assistance from the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewerage District, which helped to fund that project through a grant. You might ask, why install a green roof? A couple of advantages that have been noted by green roof owners and manufacturers are, one, it reduces the stormwater volume off of the roof, which is the primary interest of the MMSD. Secondly, the amount of heat that rises off the roof is less, so it reduces what's referred to as the heat island effect in downtown urban areas. It increases the lifespan of the roof, that the membrane that underlies the vegetation. And because there is some thickness there, you do derive some energy savings because it's kind of an additional insulating effect from it. But it is worth noting that green roofs really aren't applicable to all types of roofs. You need to have a structurally sound roof. You can't just install them on any given roof. And this is an excellent project, I think, too, as well, because not only does the Public Museum derive the benefits from the ones shown here, but it's also a great educational tool, which is one of the primary purposes of the museum. Now, if you think that we're kind of a forerunner on green roofs, I think you might want to think again on that. The Ford Motor Company in 2005 installed a green roof at their River Rouge plant, which is just outside of Detroit. That roof is about 500,000 square feet, which is roughly 10 acres in size, and that's the largest green roof in the United States. About a year ago, Rockwell Automation installed a green roof that covers almost all of the top of the roof there, and you can see the clock tower in the background. And, of course, we had a green roof installed at the County Zoo several years ago at the Peck Education Center. And then finally, a personal favorite of mine, that's the green roof at Al Johnson's restaurant located in Door County. And as you can see, they display a rather unique technology for maintaining the vegetation on top of that roof. So if you're driving through Door County in the mood for pancakes, I'd suggest you stop at Al Johnson's to see the green roof there. General Mitchell Airport has been busy this summer with a number of design projects, including the baggage claim area and the combined maintenance facility, both of which plan to incorporate significant energy efficient and green design components within them, including daylighting, water efficient fixtures, rainwater recovery and reuse, and using construction materials made from recycled products. And I think a number of you may have been briefed already on the baggage claim design at the Public Works Committee meeting, I think, back in September. At the this summer, what were the reflective pools in front of the Mitchell Park domes were converted into patio space, which are covered with a permeable pavement. The square-shaped grates that you see kind of running vertically on the slide to the right cover fountain jets that are operated in the summertime. And the water for those fountains is obtained from rainwater that percolates down through the pavement and is collected in an underground tank. I understand also there are plans to look at using that stored rainwater for irrigation on future projects there. And I think this is an important project because it demonstrates an excellent example of reusing existing infrastructure in a different way to the benefit of our visitors there. Now, it's great to have projects, but it's also important for us to look at changing our policies and procedures, since those things affect what we do on a very broad scale. So it's important that we do some planning work along with our construction projects. And one planning document we've been working on this summer is a design guide for our parking lot reconstruction projects. The stormwater runoff from parking lots can contain a significant amount of pollutants such as suspended solids, bacteria, salt, and other nutrients. And to help us incorporate best management practices when we design parking lot renovations, we prepared this design guide for our county staff or for our consultants to use when they're embarking on design. We're currently beta testing this design guide on a parking lot that is under design for the sports complex, which is about a 2-acre site. And that's a photograph of that parking lot as it stands right now in the lower right-hand corner. It's about 2 acres in size. It's just kind of a crushed gravel surface. I think the plan is to have that paved and rather have that kind of be a sea of asphalt. It's going to include permeable pavement as a large component of that, because that parking lot's located within about 300 feet of the river and it drains directly to it. So another planning document we've been busy with this summer has been referred to as a countywide recycling plan, which summarizes in detail our current recycling practices in each of the major departments and presents recommendations for improvements to boost our recycling participation as well as our recycling revenues. This document is being prepared with the assistance from Keep Greater Milwaukee Beautiful and a summer intern from UW Extension's Pollution Prevention Program. The document's currently in a draft form, and it's under review by our departmental recycling coordinators, which kind of comprise what we refer to loosely as our recycling team. Now, one thing we like to try to accomplish with a lot of these efforts is hopefully people begin to ask the question, is there a better alternative to the way we do things, our current practices? And sometimes the answer to that is no, which is fine to analyze something and decide that what we're doing is good. But occasionally you come up with the answer is yes. And it's always a pleasure when I receive emails from staff describing their innovative efforts to reduce waste and save money for the county. And this summer I received an email from the sheriff's office about how they were recycling expired bulletproof vests instead of landfilling them. That's the slide or the photograph in the upper right-hand corner there. The sheriff's office was able to find a company that pays the county for the old vests and shreds them and recycles them into new products such as rope and brake pads. On the lower right-hand corner, that is an illustration of a pilot project we're about to begin out at General Mitchell in the admin wing. We're going to be converting waste baskets into the recycling containers. So the old waste baskets will now become the recycling containers, and we're providing each of those offices with a smaller new waste basket that's going to hang on the side of those recycling baskets. And the idea really here is to get people to think more about recycling and trying to generate less waste. And, of course, the reason for that is because we pay to have trash hauled away, but we get paid for recyclables. A few years ago, Mitchell Airport began the gradual replacement of their diesel-powered shuttle buses with CNG-powered buses. That's compressed natural gas. They added two more this year, which I think brings them up to 11 out of the 13 are now CNG-fueled. Recently, Greg Faley, who is the GMI Environmental Compliance Manager, provided me with some fuel use data for the past 3 to 4 years for those shuttles. And I looked at that data, and I thought you might find it interesting. here's a chart that illustrates the CNG use out at Mitchell Airport. The blue bars are the CNG consumption. The yellow bars is the diesel consumption. As you can see, the CNG consumption in terms of thousands of gallons has been increasing over the past 3 years. Where the diesel consumption has been going down. Now, the important thing here is there's quite a discrepancy these days between the cost of diesel fuel and CNG. Diesel is about twice the cost of CNG right now. And even though the idea to embark on the transition from the diesel buses to CNG was primarily an environmental one. Right now, it's they're deriving really significant economic payback from that at this point in time. I'm projecting they're looking at the avoided cost, what they would have, essentially the savings from going to CNG for just this year alone will exceed probably $100,000 by having converted to CNG buses there. So this is an excellent project, how we can drive both environmental benefits and substantial fiscal benefits from a project. We continue to do a lot of work on the education outreach side. One significant project I wanted to point out was this summer we hosted two operation and maintenance training workshops for the maintenance of our solar energy systems, being our solar PV and our solar hot water systems. I think this was significant because this was a collaborative effort between us and the City of Milwaukee and the Milwaukee Housing Authority. The city was able to obtain a small grant which enabled us to bring in training staff from outside, and we're therefore able to offer this as a free training program to our maintenance staff of Milwaukee County, the city, and the Milwaukee Housing Authority. Something I wanted to point out here was I think one of our biggest challenges we face right now is data management. We have lots of data right now. We have lots of energy data. We have lots of recycling data. We're getting more data on our construction demolition waste. But this information is not readily captured or compiled in a way that's easy to digest or analyze. Just for electricity alone, we have nearly 500 different accounts. That's when I get a report from We Energies, that's over 5,000 records a year. And if I request data from We Energy on a single year energy consumption, I get a spreadsheet that has about 100,000 data points in it. That's just for a single year. So it's kind of hard to carve that up and redo that and plunk it into something that's useful for our operations staff to see and analyze and kind of make sense of. I think this is pretty cumbersome as it is right now, and I see this as somewhat of a bottleneck for us to managing these resources more efficiently. So this is just kind of an FYI slide a little bit here to let you know that we're looking at software or services that can provide a little more sophisticated means of data collection and compilation so we can manage that data more efficiently and effectively. Just kind of looking ahead, I think we will continue to do a lot what we have been doing. But as I mentioned, I think we need a little bit more emphasis on the quantitative side to define our objectives and analyze our performance. But I think that will help in the future planning and decision-making. Well, with that, thank you.
Questions, Mr. Committee Member Supervisor Dimitri Yadid?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to move that we receive and place on file so that all of our colleagues can enjoy the great news and progress that we're making here with the Green Print.
Very good. We have a motion to receive and place on file. Supervisor Haas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was curious, Mr. Chairman, does the possibility of adopting vehicles using newer clean diesel technology that treats the exhaust from the diesel engine in breaks down the smog forming particles in it. Are we in any position to adopt that in the future, knowing that this would entail the purchase of new vehicles, which have the new feature added, which is not free? Just a point of curiosity. Thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and Supervisors, I know that the new buses that Milwaukee County Transit purchased do utilize that kind of clean diesel technology, and those produce probably like 10% of the emissions of what the old buses used to generate because they do utilize state-of-the-art technology for that. So that's an excellent advancement for us in terms of improving air quality here. I think whether or not that could be adopted for other types of vehicles, I haven't been able to look at that, but I think probably will be the case. You know, from a regulatory standpoint, is being more will the regs are getting a little stricter on diesel vehicles, and so the manufacturers are coming out and kind of in response to that and providing those that technology on a greater variety of vehicles.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Other questions by committee members?
I have one request. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you, if you're able to, please email us that presentation?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just one last note. I think, you know, during budget time right now, what we're in, sometimes we can use positive and uplifting information. And I just hope every time this comes up, I hope that, you know, our media is listening to the great things that we're doing, because this is some really exciting news. And my last comment, and I'm sure just going to keep repeating myself over and over until someone picks it up and writes about it, because it's very exciting. And what I want to leave you with is when I talk about the budget, just yesterday we were in committee discussing our facilities. And this has been on everyone's minds for quite some time here. Look at what we're doing with some of our oldest facilities that are, you know, landmarks like the domes. That everywhere I go, that's in people's minds. That's what you know, the art museum is our symbol, but the domes really goes back to people's history. And we're doing state-of-the-art things there. You know, the permeable surface is amazing. I know in some of our senior centers we're using the thermal hot water heaters?
Mm-hmm.
I can never get terminology right. My point is in these very older, outdated buildings, through this program, we are able to accomplish some state-of-the-art technology that people are using, as Mr. Keith showed, in the private sector. And I think it's something that this county board should really hang their hat on, because the fact, like I said, that we go to these kind of older treasures and outdated assets and are able to do these interesting capital improvements, I think are really going to pay off. And they are paying off. So I think it's a great investment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And Ms. Keith, a real good summary of the real progress that's being made, certainly over the last couple of years particularly. And I think it's important to acknowledge my colleague, Supervisor Dmitrievich's efforts on behalf of the Green Print Initiative. She has pushed and prodded and provoked us on occasion into action that might not have otherwise happened, both this board and the bureaucracy generally. So I think it's important to acknowledge those things and have the public understand where the leadership on this issue came from. Thank you. Item number three, please. Oh, you have a question. I'm sorry.
Well, not on this, but before we go to item number three, I just want to first apologize for being tardy. Oh, we didn't vote? We
should
probably
vote. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask. I may not be able to affect the vote on the item one, but I wanted to vote in affirmative or be recorded.
Fine. That'll be, barring an objection, that will be recorded as a vote in favor of.
Yes.
Item number one, it is unanimous, right?
On
the motion before us to receive and place on file, are there further questions? Hearing none, please call the roll.
Supervisors Haas.
Aye.
Cesars.
Aye.
Dmitrievich.
Aye.
Jurcet.
Aye.
Sanfilippo.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman.
Aye.
Vote is 7-0. The item is going to be received and placed on file.
Ms. Black?
Just as a side note to that, I think by hosting the Rock the Green when we had that concert this summer, and again, Supervisor Dmitrievich on the help with that, but to bring that to town and actually showcase what we have and across the country, to be able to put on an event like that kind of brings it to life as well. So, and they're planning on coming back next year, so I thought I'd just point that out.
Okay. Item number three.